Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart. I want to talk to you about spiritual engagement, particularly biblical engagement today as we move forward. And kind of the opposite of what Doug was talking about in Japan, in the United States, here in the West, we find a phenomenon. The scripture says this about itself. In the Old Testament, it says, as my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The New Testament reflects the similar sentiment this way. The writer of Hebrews, a very familiar verse to us, says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart of man. The Bible is very powerful. It's very, very powerful in our lives. Another thing we see in our country is that the Bible is very prevalent. Doug talked about how not so much so in Japan, very much so here. Did you know that nearly all Americans, over 90% of Americans, own a Bible? In fact, the average American household has four Bibles in it. And so the presence of Bibles is not an issue in this part of the world. The Bible is still the best-selling book in the world. It's still the most widely published book in the world, and yet most Americans still believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And yet, we don't see the evidence of that power. We don't see the evidence of that prevalence in our culture. We have become very secularly minded in our world. Let me give you some things to kind of prompt your thinking here. Scriptural engagement with the Bible in our country is down drastically. It's estimated now, they've done some studies, and only 6 out of 10 Americans read the Bible even occasionally. That's down from 75%, 3 out of 4, back even as recently as the 80s. Here's one that really bothers me, though. 1 in 4 Christians, people who say they're believers, say they regularly study the Bible to find a direction in their lives. My question to them is, then where are you looking? What's your source? What's your resource there? Only 1 out of 4 regularly look to the Bible for direction. And top of the scriptural engagement issue is the fact that Christians, people who claim Christ, seem to be increasingly susceptible to temptations like sexual immorality, like substance abuse. We see depression growing among believers. At least we're talking about it now. Did you know that half of all men sitting in a church service today are in some way involved in pornography? That's a stat. That's not just a guess. That the divorce rate among Christians is the same as everybody else. Why doesn't it make a difference in our marriages? That a significant majority of people who self-identify as born-agains have cohabitated. That's especially true under the age of 35. That we're sleeping around and sleeping with one another with no conscience whatsoever. And this one is coming up in youth ministry. This really disturbed me, that 8 out of 10 youth from evangelical homes, not across the board, not just nationally, but out of evangelical homes. In other words, out of your home. 8 out of 10 youth walk away from their faith by the age of 23. Parents, I'm going to come back around to that. This makes this the primary thing of importance. You can forget Little League. You can forget youth soccer. You can forget all the extracurriculars that we do. If you're not focused on this, you're missing the mark. But it has to be important to you, not just something that you make your kids do. So before you prep all this stuff, we're spending a lot of effort and energy trying to get our kids into the right school. You better make sure they're following the right God. And so we see these things in a culture that is really, really biblically immersed. There's plenty of scripture everywhere. There's an organization called the Center for Bible Engagement. They interviewed a couple of years ago 40,000 Americans from all walks of life, not just believers. They got Christians, they got non-Christians, they got believers, they got atheists, from the age of 8 to the age of 80. And the original intent of the study was to find out, okay, how are Americans engaging the Bible? What are they doing with the scripture? And they found something that radically changed the direction of the study. In fact, it became the major emphasis of the study. They originally just wanted to say, okay, what is our spiritual engagement? And they said, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Here's a quote from that study. "We've also revealed major differences in the moral behavior and spiritual maturity of believers based on their level of scriptural engagement. Specifically, we have discovered through our research large behavioral differences between Christians who read or listen to the Bible at least 4 days a week and those who engage the scripture less often. The differences include both moral behavior as well as how we are prepared or how the individual is prepared to serve God and impact the world." Here are some of their findings. And I don't know, I'm hoping this rocks you the way it rocked me. That 1/5 of teenagers and 2/5 of young adults don't hear from God at all through the week, not through the written word. They hear from God not at all. "I believe that children of the future," we sang a generation ago. Well, we've screwed that up. Same stat. Only 3 out of 10 adults listen or read from the Bible from 1 to 3 days a week. 3/4 of young adult Christ followers, the ages 18 through 24, have never read the entire Bible. They've been Christians on the average 7 years. Of the people that are 25 and older, half of them have never read the entire Bible. And they've been believers on the average 15 years. As a pastor, I would say that stat is much lower. I would say it's well into the single digits of people who are believers who have actually read the Bible through. And the stat that we've quoted for years is that only 1% of all people who have ever lived have read the Bible from cover to cover. And so, you know, typically on this Sunday during the year, I have a message similarly to this to try to get you guys into the Word. Here's the problem. If you look at those stats alone, we are doing exactly what we see in 1 Samuel 3. That in those days, the Word of the Lord was rare. And there were not many visions. Is it any wonder that we see countries like Japan declining in their reach? Because we see it in our own country. We see it in our own community. We have become otherwise engaged as Christians in a lot of other things. We've let things like technology, we let things that, you know, culturally like that begin to affect the way we engage the scripture. Here's the most revealing thing from the study that the Center for Bible Engagement found. That there is a radical difference in how one navigates life depending on how often one engages the Bible. Now, let me just walk you through this. This is mind-blowing to me. That if you engage the Bible one time per week, that could be now. You come to church, you go home, you live the rest of your life. That there is negligible difference in your life compared to the rest of the world, compared to anything else. In other words, it doesn't affect you if you engage one time a week. If you engage 2 times a week, you would expect it to be better, right? Same stat. Okay, what about three times a week? I heard one guy say there's a little blip on the radar. That's it. Just a little bump. Just a little movement. Slight heartbeat. Just above a flat line. But here's what they found. When you engage the Bible four or more times a week, it doesn't go increasingly better. It literally goes from nothing to off the charts. It's this huge spike that they can't really explain. And this is what they found, and it totally changed, turned this study that they were doing. I heard one pastor say this. He said, if you are in God's Word more days than you're not, your life will be substantially different. So let me show you what they found. We live in a generation that we've talked about how depression is growing, all right? People who have a feeling of loneliness, sense of loneliness, if you are biblically engaged four or more times a week, then that is, you are 30% less likely to experience those feelings just from biblical engagement. You know why? Because you're meeting with God. You realize you're not alone in this world. You're not the only one. And then there's this one. And men probably direct this a little bit more at us. This is directed at me. This is my temperament. You're naturally angry people. You feed off of that anger. It motivates you to do things or not do things. Right? If you are biblically engaged four or more days a week, then your anger issues go down 32%. It's phenomenal. My family will tell you, they can tell when I haven't had a quiet time. Just by the way that I talk to them. Just by my patience and impatience. Ladies, let me talk to you for a minute. You may not have the anger issues, but maybe you've cycled down into a slow, low burn of bitterness and resentment. If you're biblically engaged, that goes down 40%. And I think there's a really simple reason behind it. If you're looking at the scripture and you're hearing what the scripture is saying, and you're seeing God deal with people, and you realize, my goodness, God forgave these people and extended grace to these people, and you realize personally what he's done for you, you're much more probable to extend grace and forgiveness to somebody else and not lapse into bitterness. It's really pretty simple. And then there's this one. Anybody that's led a Bible study group, anybody that's led Christians, a pastor, a Bible study leader, staff member will tell you, you have this conversation very often with people who reflect that they are spiritually stagnant. It's just, I just don't sense it and feel it, Brother Mike. One of the questions that you need to ask is, okay, what is the level of my Bible engagement? Because if you're biblically engaged, your sense of being spiritually stagnant decreases 60%. It's phenomenal to consider. And then there are some of the vices and the things that we've talked about. Did you know that Alcoholics Anonymous advertises a success rate of 20%? And bless God for that. I'm glad for that. I believe in that. But did you know that biblical engagement reduces the likelihood of alcoholism by 57%? If you've been through AA, I think that's a great thing. I just wish that rather than telling somebody to go find their higher power, they would actually tell them who that is, who he is, and how he can change their lives. Did you know that if you're biblically engaged four or more days a week, you are 68% less likely to be involved in sexual immorality? You're 59% less likely to be invested into porn? And you're 74% less likely to be invested in gambling and gambling-related addictions. They call this the power of four. That's what the CBE people termed it. Years ago, Billy Graham, and for you younger generations, Billy Graham was probably one of the amazing men of God who ever lived in the 20th century. He reached millions and millions and millions of people. He said this. He said, the very practice of reading the Bible will have a purifying effect upon your mind and your heart. Let nothing take the place of this daily exercise. Reading God's word and meditating on its truth will have a purifying effect upon your mind and your heart and will be demonstrated in your life. The scripture simply says this, establish my footsteps in your word and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. The power of four tells us that if you are invested in God's word four or more times a week, that the chance that sin is going to have dominion on you, it doesn't eliminate it, it just reduces it drastically. In other words, guys, it gives you a fighting chance. Even as a believer. Now, here's the positive side. The study also found that if you are engaged in the scripture four or more days a week, that the likelihood you will share the faith increases 228%. That you will memorize scripture, look at that, goes up 407%. And that you would actively engage in the basic Christian job description, go and make disciples, that you would be an active disciple maker increases 230%. The psalmist said this, he said, I will run the course of your commandments for you will enlarge my heart. Isn't that cool? Because I remember when I first really started following Christ back in the early 80s. And I remember seeing the job out there in front of us. You see something like Japan, where you have hundreds of millions of people who are unreached. You see that in our culture and you say, oh my gosh, we are declining. The job is too great, and you're exactly right. But when you're engaged with God and his word and what he said and how he instructs us and directs us, he enlarges your heart for that job. And the fact that we have no heart or stomach for it speaks volumes about our lack of engagement. And so this becomes so important, Lord, enlarge our hearts. It starts with being biblically engaged. So let me give you some hacks, some handles. I didn't write these. I don't remember exactly where I found them. They've been edited over the years. Just some simple things. First of all, have a plan. You can't just open your Bible and think that you're going to get a whole lot done just randomly selecting stuff and bouncing around. So have a plan. We're going to talk more about that here in a minute. Here's the second thing. Don't do it alone. Here's one of the coolest things that you don't get to see, that I get to see. We have a number of women's groups who meet around town and in this building during the week. On Thursday afternoons, some of you guys are here. On Thursday afternoons, one of our women's D groups, they call them, meets here. And invariably, and I have to apologize constantly because they're spread out all over the building. They get together and they have a time of accountability. They have a time of scripture memorization. They pray for one another. And they sit around. They're out here in the mall. They're out there in the foyer. They're all over the building. And invariably, I'm walking around and I walk in on them. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And they're like, yeah, be gone. So, but it's cool because I get to hear bits of the conversation and bits of the prayer as they pray. And it's so cool to know they're not trying to do this alone because you can't. You can't and thrive. I remember when I first started this whole idea of trying to really chase after God for real. I was a college student and I was playing on a church softball team. And you know, church softball is a misnomer because it's softball that you just attach the church name to. There are things said and things done that are just as vile and disgraceful as any other league, right? But our third baseman was a guy named Brett Arrington, who's a big neurosurgeon up in Amarillo now. Smartest kid in the room, in every room he was ever in. Great athlete. Good-looking guy. And he had kind of had a turning with the Lord about the same time I did. And I'm the left fielder. And Brett would turn around between plays or at stoppages of play, and he would just yell a scripture to me because we were learning this stuff together, and I would yell it back at him. And it was just cool because we were motivated, baby. There's power in not doing it alone. We're signing up for life groups right now. How about getting invested? You've isolated enough. You've isolated too long. How's that working for you? There's power in the involvement. Number three, be realistic. You're not going to be able to take huge chunks of it all the time, right? If you're going to start engaging Scripture, you're really motivated. It's kind of like New Year's resolutions. By January 15th, they're just memories, right? Be patient, all right? Be realistic about your ability and take your time. I just want you engaged in the Scripture. Number four, highlight in your Bible. Make notes if you have a hard copy. If you can do that online, journal if you need to. I think I've write it down on number six. Use help, okay? Guides and resources. I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. And then pray it through. Pray about it before, pray about it afterwards. Pray. Listen, I've been a pastor now for 40 years, and I still have moments where I will read something in my Bible in my quiet time, and I'll say out loud, God, I just didn't get that. What was that? And I finished this morning, I don't know, 35, 40 years of doing that. This is my 35th or 40th time through the Scripture, and I still have those moments. Listen, it's not unprayerful just because you're not kneeling by your bed with your hands folded and your head bowed. Sometimes the most meaningful prayers are where you just dialogue with God, because if you're a believer, He's there. God, I don't get that. Help me understand that. You may need to go back and reread it again. You may need to go back and reread it again tomorrow. But pray it through. And then remember this. When you are in the Scripture, you're engaging God. Don't miss that. You're not looking for God through the Scripture. The Scriptures are revealing God to you. You're engaging Him on the spot. So make sure you understand, I'm right in the middle of engaging God right now. And don't give up. Don't give up. It's been so cool over the years to have some of you guys that accept that challenge and say, okay, I'm going to do that, and you begin to move through it, and it's transformational. I've one of the most transformational things I've seen in my wife is when she really got serious about investing herself in the Scripture. In all honesty, for you ladies, it was in the D group. That's the biggest and best change. She had been to Bible studies for years, but something about the way that that's set up really was transformational for her to this day. It's so cool for me to walk through my bathroom and see the Scripture she's got memorized up there posted between our two mirrors in the bathroom, and she's working on that day after day after day. A couple of weeks ago, we were somewhere. I said, hey, do your Scripture, and she just started quoting it. That's so cool. It's radically altered how she deals with me too, and I love that part. Selfishly, I love that part. The point is, it works. Don't give up. Don't give up. So I said, get a plan. I'm going to walk you through just a couple of possibilities. You can take pictures of these screens. I don't have QR codes to show you. Here at the Heights, we have something called Journey 365, which is a 365-day reading plan through the Scripture, either Old Testament, New Testament, or both. You can go to this website, and there'll be a place you can enter your email address, and it will actually email you a link every day, and you can click on the links, and it will take you to Bible Gateway, and you can read that portion of the Scripture for that day. And if you do that, and you do that every day, then you will read the Bible through or read the New Testament through over the course of a year, all right? Interesting to know. We also have here at the Heights, we have the THF app for your smart devices. Maybe you know that, maybe you don't. You can find it under one of the Google thing or the Apple thing. You find that. I love technology so much. You'll find that under, if you search the Heights Fellowship Lubbock, it looks like that little blue square with the mountains in it, the heights in it. You can download that, and you can go to More in the bottom right-hand corner, and there's Bible, and the far right picture on the screen shows you today's. This is what today's looks like. And you can click on it and read the Bible through. You can do that on your smart devices. So just so you know, those options are there. Then at Bible Gateway itself, there's an incredible resource of Bible engagement, of Scripture engagement for you. There's everything from Old Testament, New Testament, whole Bible to historical to chronological. I was reading down through that last night. I was like, holy cow, this is really, really cool. That's where you find that there. And then there's the Bible recap. You ladies are going, yeah, baby, now you're talking. I'm watching, you guys are like a cult. Anyway, it's phenomenal what they have for you. And there are men who do this as well. You can go to that website and you can get started. There are all kinds of helps. There's all kinds of plans. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can go and have it read to you. For years, we have ridden to the gym, Linnell and I have, and she's been playing that on her phone. And I'll get to listen to it too in the 20-minute drive that we have to the gym. I'm going to miss the fact that she's now at a different gym and we don't riding together. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to do that on my own. But that is an amazing, amazing resource. So as we get to the end, the scripture says this about itself. The unfolding of your words, of God's words, gives light. Man, in 2024, we need light like never before, right? It gives understanding to the simple. I always quote that verse as it gives understanding to Mike because it's true. And so let me ask you kind of some applications and insights. First one is this, that God just wants to spend time with you. He wants to engage you in His Word. So what are your spiritual goals? Since we're in a goal-setting time, what are your spiritual goals for 2024? Some of us want to lose 10 pounds or 15 pounds or get toned up or get in shape. Some of us want to do this or do that. What are your spiritual goals? When we're on December 31st, 2024, and you look back on the year, what are you going to say? Hey, you know what? The Lord did this in my life. This was accomplished in my life. I set out to do this and I did it. What would happen if you said, you know what? I want to read the New Testament through in 2024. I want to read the Bible through in 2024. I want to engage God on a daily basis, or at least four times a week, more days than I don't. Wonder what would happen if you ever considered that. Then number three, what is the obstacle to you engaging God in the Scripture? What, can you identify an obstacle? Let's be honest, is it sloth? Is it laziness? Is it distraction? Maybe you need to change something there to be able to engage. Consider the power of four in your life this year, all right? And then the QR code is there on the right for you guys to let us know kind of what you're thinking, how you're doing, and how we can help. Let me pray over you, and then we're going to move to the Lord's Supper. The band's going to come back up here, and we're going to begin to finish out today. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Father, it's amazing that you've given us the great resource of your word, that we have in this time, in this culture, the power and the prevalence of the Bible around us like in no other time in history. And yet we find ourselves in a lot of cases as spiritually impotent as has ever been. Father, I pray that we would not be like during the time of Samuel, where word from the Lord was rare. Father, it's rare because we're not engaging. It's there. We're just not engaged. Father, I pray that you would put in the hearts of your people, we'll start there, a hunger, a thirst, a desire, a conviction, a passion, a compelling for your word. Father, not that we can make some sort of political statement or do something on social media, that we can do something very intimate and personal that has powerful effect in all areas of our life. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart of man. That's what your word says. Father, we believe that. Lord, I pray that through this year of doing this, that we will recognize and realize that we are encountering Jesus. The scripture that speaks of him leads us to him over and over and over. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be too proud, too lazy, or too beaten down not to reach out to you this year. Lord, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org, and we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.